Hello, lovely listeners. Welcome to Nastalgia. I'm your host, Nassim, and I'm so glad you're tuning in. We are going to be deep diving into a topic that I'm very passionate about today, cartoons. Yes, cartoons. Do you remember being 8, 9, 10 years old? Heck, maybe even an early teenager. That was the pastime. Like, you would come home and that is what you were excited to do. I don't know about you guys, but for me, that's actually still the case. I love winding down and looking forward to watching something. I remember in college, one of my favorite things to do was scheduling my classes the way that I wanted, which, by the way, that freedom was just amazing for an 18-year-old, but scheduling my classes the way I wanted so that I could come home and watch the shows that I had lined up. Like, I just have this vivid memory of like the Thursday night lineup of like Grey's Anatomy, Vampire Diaries, and Private Practice. Oh, and actually, and Jersey Shore was the same night. I remember Thursday nights was like a lineup. And I think that that was kind of ingrained in me because I was an avid Nickelodeon fan, Disney Channel, Cartoon Network, and I have very fond memories over all of the cartoons that I grew up watching. And so, without further ado, you are about to experience the 90s cartoon competition bracket. Recently, I actually wanted to just give a little plug to a documentary I watched on Hulu called The Orange Years. I highly recommend watching this if you're like me and you're just nostalgic. The Orange Years basically takes you through the story of how Nickelodeon came to be. And so amazing to see that it was basically trailblazed by this visionary named Geraldine Laybourne and this commitment to put kids first. It's such a good documentary. I was amazed at how many old childhood stars they have making cameos in this. Not even a cameo. I mean, they were interviewed. Almost the entire cast of All That, Clarissa Explains It All, Kenan and Kel, Coolio, Drake Bell. For those Drake and Josh fans, that was after my time, but he's in it too. And even the hosts of You Can't Do That on Television, which was one of the first skit variety shows that basically led the way for shows like All That and The Amanda Show and so on and so forth. And that is actually how slime was invented, was on You Can't Do That on Television, which I did not know. And it's so cool because as I'm watching this documentary, you see that they literally created the Nickelodeon studios at Universal in Orlando for the kids. Like, it became a place where you could go and watch All That being filmed. You could stand behind a glass door and watch them create Gak or slime. You could be a member of the audience during Legends of the Hidden Temple or Figure It Out. I think one of my biggest wishes is that I could have gotten to go visit Nickelodeon Studios in Orlando. And unfortunately, it does not exist anymore. But something really cool is they actually put a time capsule into the ground back in 1992. And it just had like all of the things from 1992, like pop culture wise. I was wondering like, hey, Nickelodeon in Orlando has now closed. Like, where is it now? And they've moved it to Nickelodeon Animation Studio in Burbank. So the official opening day of that time capsule is April 30th, 2042. Whoever's down, I will be going to that grand opening in 2042. And hey, let's just put it out there that maybe I will be doing a speech of some sorts. Maybe nostalgia will have gotten so big that they'll want me to do a speech there and I will finally have my dream come true of being slimed. So for this next segment of Nostalgia, I am so excited to bring on our special guest. This is someone that I have been wanting on the podcast for a very long time. Alvin Williams is my guest today. He runs an amazing podcast called Down by the Creek. And you guys know by now, hopefully you know, how much I love Dawson's Creek. This show has changed my life. I mean, literally it has. And Alvin started a podcast where he watches and does commentary on every episode of Dawson's Creek, aka like my new best friend. So when I found his podcast, I knew that I wanted to be on it. I knew I wanted to talk to him. I knew I wanted to pick his brain. And so I've been lucky enough to be a guest on his podcast, which that's in the show notes. I would love for you guys to go and subscribe and follow. But Alvin also runs another podcast. He's a co-host of Affirmative Murder, which is also amazing. So go like and subscribe both of these podcasts. I'm going to do a little plug at the end of this as well. Yeah, Alvin is pretty much the male version of me as far as nostalgia goes. So Alvin, welcome.
Thank you very much, Nassim, for having me. I want to keep it as light and entertaining as possible before things get contentious and this turns into a real battle. But thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I'm honored. Thank you for being here. Guys, so you are in for a treat today. You know, our last episode of Nostalgia was also kind of more of a competitive feel. We did a trivia takeover. We're continuing the competition today. I can't even take credit. This is Alvin's idea. We are doing a kind of like a March Madness bracket of cartoons, the best of 90s and early 2000s cartoons. So kind of to give you guys a lay of the land of how this episode will work, the shows we have chosen are majority from Nickelodeon and Cartoon Network, right? They're all from
one Saturday morning. Yeah. Like just a little behind baseball, we've batted around several different ideas for the bracket. There was the Nickelodeon versus Cartoon Network bracket, but then it's like there's other shows that are out of there. And also all of my favorite shows might not all be from one network. So then we have decided to just kind of do like a mishmash, like a tapas of all the, you know, of all the cartoon channels, and just pick our 8 favorite each and then have those shows go head to head with each other. We are repurposing the bracket for 90s cartoons.
Yes. And so just some like ground rules that we thought of, which I love, is we're judging these shows not on just like subjectively like, oh, what's my favorite show? I want this to win. But we're actually, we have like a criteria, right? Like, is the show timeless? Like, it's timelessness, the quality, the philosophical lessons you may have learned. Yeah.
Oh, I'm pulling out all the stops, just by the way. If you're kicking my ass in the argument, I'm going to go super deep on things that the show might not even have intended for you to think about it. Good, just FYI. Good.
I just rewatched a few episodes of a few shows and I'll get to that. Anyways, so you guys, our first round is, we have 16 shows. We each picked 8. The trick here is that we both have to agree on the show that's the winner before we move to the next round, which I love. Yes. So it's not just like I win or Alvin wins. We have to come to an agreement. So let's do this. So we're going to do, you know, throwback to junior high school speech and debate style. We have a minute max for these first 8. And I will let you go first, sir, my special guest. I'll be a polite lady. Ready,
go! We're going Doug Cat Dog?
Yeah, Doug versus Cat Dog.
Okay, I picked Cat Dog. Mm-hmm. So just to know what side I'm starting on.
Yes, we'll start with the sides.
You can turn up my sand timer or whatever. You can start. Nassim, I will inform you that I question your selection of Doug because everyone knows that while Doug was of the 90s, Doug is basically a teen drama cartoon. No kid wants to watch Doug. It's boring. He's going through trivial situations in school, patty mayonnaise and all this nonsense. If you're 6 years old, you want to watch Cat Dog. You want to watch a mythological creature that exists only in your fantasy, your wildest dreams, have all kind of nonsensical adventures. A cat and a dog, you know, they're meant to be mortal enemies, but they're family. They touch on subjects, you know, that, you know, you wouldn't think of, you know, like I said, family, as I said before, subletting apartments. They have a mouse that lives with them in dealing with the roommates in situations like that, having personal space and knowing boundaries. So while you're learning lessons that you might learn from Doug, but you just learn them boringly, you're learning things from Cat Dog while also having a great time. The greasers, that little dog that likes Cat Dog. Time's up, sir. Yes, fine. That's fine. You know, I can go a cappella if I want to, but I will stop. I think I made a fair point.
Dude, I don't even want to do my argument yet. I have questions for you. I follow up questions. Please. Can I? Okay. Number one,
show. You can do whatever you want.
Thank you. Okay, you're right. What is like one lesson that you've learned from Cat Dog? What was the point of the show? I don't even know the point of the show.
The point of the show was, you know, whimsy, a brotherhood, you know, a sibling rivalries, backing your family no matter what.
Alvin, it was one of the most obnoxious. I barely watched it. One of the most obnoxious shows of all time.
Your loss.
Okay. Doug, they were in junior high. They were actually in like 5th grade going into 6th grade. The season finale, which I just watched a few nights ago, is them graduating 5th grade going into junior high.
Oh, wow. But
when you watch it, it feels like they're in high school. You're right. It does. Because they're mature. Dude, every episode of this show, there is such a valuable, timeless lesson about identity, about family, about selflessness. The Christmas episode of Doug, where Porkchop is wrongfully accused of biting BB's foot. Like, I cry every time I watch that, Alvin. It is such a good show. And I want to say, the creator of this show, he knew what he wanted Patty Maynard's voice to sound like. So he had her voice in his head, and he was like, I don't know who the actress will be. I know what I want it to be. He's watching TV one day. There's a commercial for like a ketchup, like Heinz ketchup. Oh, sorry, mm-hmm. It's mayonnaise, duh. It's mayonnaise. And the lady in the diner, the actress, he mm-hmm. was like, that's her. That's her voice. That's the voice. And that's how he named it Patty Mayonnaise. Isn't that cool?
Okay, I just had to insert that. That's a lot more research than my points.
Don't say, darling, make up your mind. Because he's cutting down on cholesterol. I show him Kraft Cholesterol Free. Welcome back to Mayo, I say.
Yes, okay. There are lessons in Doug. I'm sure there are plenty of lessons. But my point is, at the time when Doug was out, no kid was looking to learn those lessons. This is that's about longevity. No, okay. So it's a show that you can watch now and it still holds up. Okay. No, I'm actually starting to defeat myself.
Especially now at our age, when you watch this now, the instrumental music, dude, there's even moments where like in the middle of a scene, they'll be like, I can't do like the scat. It's like,
yeah, it's great. It's great. It's fun.
So
yeah,
good. It helps you feel the feels, like the mood. Dude, like the character.
It's very minimalist. It is.
And like, I love that every really character's cool a different color. Come on. Like representation. Like, come on.
It's a really cool show.
Okay. Okay. So I think we have a winner here. If I do say so myself.
I will say yes. Okay, fine. I will agree with you on Doug moving on in the bracket. Boom. But you never even really gave Cat Dog a chance.
I didn't.
The intro to Cat Dog is a Western.
I hate Westerns.
It's never stood
like
a chance.
Yeah, nothing. My brother loved it. Nothing about it was like, I care about the storyline. I'm very big on storyline and like character development. So to see that Doug like
it was devoid of storyline.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, it was. They lived in a fish bone house.
I get it. Fun for a guy that's like, you know, like having snacks on a Saturday morning and just like doesn't care what's on. But Doug,
that's what I based it off of. Your list, as we'll get through it, you'll see that you picked a lot of heady meta thing. And I'm like, it's Saturday. I poured a bowl of cereal. What am I watching? And it's not Doug, but Doug wins.
Which I love because you represent another half of, you know, not America, but whatever, another half of 90s.
I represent the other half of America, yes.
I don't think everyone cares as much as we do, but you know, this is good. Okay, so Doug's the winner. Okay. Moving on. Guys, bracket number two. Daria versus Ed, Ed, and Eddie. I love this matchup. I love that we paired these two together. It's funny. There's like a philosophical theme in my picks. I love Daria because I felt like it was different than your, like, I mean, there was no one like Daria. Let's just say that. There's no one like Daria.
At all.
And not to say that I don't think anyone watched the show wanting to be her, but I think there was this like, refresh.
There were people, yeah, people that watched it who were her.
Totally. Where they're like, wow, that's me. Yeah. Exactly. I think I just realized, wow, there's people who are really like this and I like it. It's actually endearing to me. And it was the real view of like, okay, the modern family. It's kind of like the Osbournes, honestly. It was like a cartoon version of the Osbournes, right? Like her family is not this like cookie cutter, white picket fence, like the sister that's like the total cheerleader that, you know, the parents love way more than you. Jane, the best friend.
This is admittedly tough for me.
Okay.
Because I'm a big fan of Daria. She is my spirit animal.
Okay, really?
But I selected Ed, Ed, and Eddie, so I'm going to make my fight for Ed, Ed, and Eddie. Nassim, start time, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Ed, Ed, and Eddie, first of all, when you want to talk about diversity, you want to talk about longevity, you want to talk about impact. I went on a trip to Philadelphia in the fifth grade. I bought the biggest jawbreaker I could find at the museum based off of trying to relive the fun of Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
No way.
That show teaches you about ingenuity. It teaches you about being your own boss. It is a very diverse cast of friends. It keeps alive the spirit of comedy by using the Three Stooges format. Mm-hmm. It ingratiates children with the idea of immigrants. Rolf is an immigrant and proud. He is the son of a shepherd.
Oh.
He moves into this town. Great representation. It also deals with mental illness in a very fun way. There's a character named Johnny. He talks to a piece of wood named Plank, and it is perfectly fine. Nobody judges him. Nobody makes fun of him. Ed, Ed, and Eddie is a case study of how to be an American in 2021.
Shut up.
they are great. They are great people. And Ed is a capitalist, and he learns how to win. And it is almost like a condemnation against capitalism because he's the worst character on the show. So it makes people really understand how capitalism can ruin a soul. That is my time. Done.
I'm speechless, and you win. Like I will easily.
I had to pull out all the stops for that one,
dude. I need a moment. Oh, I mean, I loved your analysis. Okay. So here's the thing. So again, my brother is 4 years younger than me. He was so much more into Cartoon Network, and so this was like his show. I always saw it as like I'd kind of walk in, like watch it a little bit, and I was always like, oh, it just feels so like messy, and like, you know how it's drawn and stuff too, that vibe of like, oh, like I just was like, I don't
it's like
it.
An acid trip. It's like, it is very much like an acid trip. It's also very convoluted classic idea of what a boy is and what, you know, like it's like the messy boy riding a bike show. Like, you know, you come in the house, you smell like grass, you smell like outside, you know, and you don't take a bath or anything. You just go right upstairs and you watch Ed and Eddie, you know, and
totally.
Jawbreakers, there's spit everywhere. It's a very messy show.
Was Johnny, the guy that talked to the plank, did he have the head, what's called the braces too, that wrapped around his head? Was that him?
No, that was, who was that? That was Jimmy. That was Jimmy. That was Jimmy.
I remember that guy too. Okay. Yes. I love that. No.
And Jimmy was very sensitive. Every person had their own personality. It was a great show.
Okay, you see, you drew out the depth that I did not see before, but I can see now and appreciate. So you win. You win.
Again, I had to pull out all the stops. I loved Arya, so that hurt me very much. That was a deep blow to my soul. But I did what I had to do, and I feel fine about it.
And you know, I feel fine because really, realistically, Doug versus Ed, Edd n Eddy in the next round, there's no contest, so I'm not worried. So let's move on. Our next bracket is taking it back to literal childhood, Arthur versus Magic School Bus. I like this.
Yeah.
I will start. Literally back. I feel like I have the same argument every time. It's so funny. My favorites are all. Yeah. Okay. You guys, I remember watching Arthur in daycare and preschool. Like, I love this show. Again, I think I love the diversity in characters. The theme I'm noticing is also like all these like creators of these shows didn't care that there wasn't like all one species of animal, right? It's like there's an aardvark. His best friend is a bunny. The rodent is the principal, you know, Muffy.
Whatever that big faced kid is.
Yes. What was Muffy?
With the big face.
Like a monkey, I think. What was Francine? Like some of them were people, some of them were animals, I feel, right? I don't know. For me, I love like a good after school special, right? And like all these shows where like they're at school, there's a 30-minute lesson involved that you learn, and it's all about like acceptance, friendship. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I love Arthur.
Arthur's cool, I guess. If you like people that abuse their siblings.
Explain.
Anyway, I will
explain. Well,
Arthur punched his sister for being a child.
No,
not
way.
Okay.
How do you know this?
an episode is a very classic. The meme of Arthur balling up his fist. What do you think he did with that fist? He punched his sister.
That's what it is.
Punches his sister DW right in the face for messing with his plane.
So
that's the kind of show you choose to like. Let me talk about a little show called Magic School Bus, Nessie.
Okay.
Magic School Bus. Have you ever seen a more positively represented teacher in television? I would say no. Miss Frizzle is the embodiment of a degree in performing arts brought to life. She is the personification of that. She is magical. She wears wonderful clothes every day. You want to talk about diversity? Man, that class is diverse. All kinds of kids from every walk of life. And you learn something every episode, every single episode. And I don't mean like learn like, you know, bullying is bad or like, hey, everybody doesn't get to school at the same time because of their own personal home issues. I mean like biology lessons.
I know. You know,
things about the gastrointestinal tract, things about outer space. They take all kind of magic trips and they made being on a school bus fun. It allowed you to have fantasies. You know, when you get up on that dirty school bus with those dirty leather seats, no seatbelts, you're not safe.
Yeah.
Think about Magic School Bus and you feel some sense of wonderment, like anything's possible. That's what Magic School Bus inspires within me to this day.
Mic drop. You're dying.
Right on the Magic School Bus.
And I, you know, for both Arthur and Magic School Bus, they had a book series. I did read both. And I will say, they were both awesome, but Magic School Bus, you're right. Like, as soon as you said learning science, like, it was kind of like a prequel to Bill Nye for me.
Yes.
You know, like, it actually, yeah. No, I will give it to you. And Alvin, I'm a very competitive person, but I'm also humble enough to, like, I'm going to let winners win when I agree with you. So, yeah.
I appreciate it.
Bracket number four, I'm confident I will win. Courage the Cowardly Dog versus Johnny Bravo. Cartoon Network. These were both on the the late night with Space.
Yeah, this was towards the evening. Things got a little weird on Courage.
Yep, very weird, very weird. I'm curious though, did you also like Courage? So Courage is my pick, but did you also like it?
It's a hard question, man. The show is so, it's such an acid trip.
Yep.
You know, you talk about storyline. There is no story. I mean, they're basically like in purgatory or something. Like they live in a house in the middle of nowhere, and then like demons. It was a very scary show.
Okay. Let me state my case. So this was a show that I look back on, and I was what, maybe like 10 or 11 watching it. My brother was like 6 or 7, and my dad was like in his 40s at the time. We would watch together and all loved it. So I think the fact that I look back and like my dad, who was,
I mean, love, 40s, but like, love it how? Like, were you like, laughing no, at like, the show? Like, what no, is this
like,
show?
Like, this was, okay. Like, this
is,
was,
it
like,
a comedy?
No.
Like, what do you do with you? What do you do when you watch this show?
It was an intriguing philosophical trip. Fair. It was intriguing.
It's a trip, for sure.
I hear you on like, I mean, I never made the purgatory like connection, but like I could see people doing that. To me, it was just like he's saving his family from evil, and every episode there's a different evil, right? But I think the way that they wrote the characters, like every villain had its own, like every villain stood out. It's like that one show where I think back, and Powerpuff Girls is similar to this, you remember every villain, and there were moments like, I don't know if you remember, but like he'd open a door and it would be like actual, like real
trippy show.
It was very trippy.
It was like multi-mediums of art all in one.
So that's, yeah, I think it just, not that I'm like, I was scared. I was a little bit freaked out by it. It was just a good ride. It was a good ride that it took you on for 30 minutes. Yeah.
Okay. You said you came into this very confident, and I feel like I can just totally destroy you in this round as well. I don't know if you remember Johnny Bravo, but Johnny Bravo, when you talk about longevity, you want to talk about watching a show for lessons. You can watch this show in 2021, and it is... It teaches so many lessons about toxic masculinity. Mm. Johnny Bravo is not received well by anybody in that show. Mm-hmm. It's a show full of strong women who bat down this D-bag's advances at every turn. It is like making fun of, you know, the alpha male personality in a really fun way. It teaches kids like, oh yeah, don't be nice to people because this dude is a dick and he's not received well.
Okay, but here's my rebuttal to that is, did the show overtly like look down on his behavior? I don't think so. I don't think the show was over about like, this is wrong. I think it was like, haha, like this guy is like, you know, like a douchebag.
Well, a ladies man that gets none of the ladies, you know, it can't be much more overt than that.
But it also didn't make you like, you never felt bad for him. You're kind of like, oh, he's just there. I felt like the story was very like one dimensional. Like there was no like.
Yeah, he's a one dimensional guy. He's a very shallow, one dimensional guy. And the show is a commentary on those kinds of guys. And to tell women who would watch the show, hey, don't accept this kind of talk or behavior from a man. You know, it really is the most feminist cartoon that I can think of, honestly.
No!
As I'm mulling it over in my head, Nassim, it really is. It, you know, should be probably taught.
I'm sorry, Clarissa Explains It All? Like, come on.
Fair, but you know, I think this show maybe could be taught in feminist courses in college. I mean, you know, there's plenty of lessons to be learned here, you know. So I would say Johnny Bravo, you know, listen, Courage the Cowardly Dog, interesting show, weird, whatever. What's it teaching you? Johnny Bravo's teaching you, hey, toxic masculinity, not okay.
And I'm saying I don't think it taught you that. I don't think it overtly taught you. I think it at that age.
Hey, do you want to start? We can start a poll. When this is out, let's see what the people have to say about Courage versus Johnny Bravo.
Yes.
But the time is up. Somebody has to bend.
I know.
So let's see what happens. Well, let's just see what happens. Make your last final case for Courage the Cowardly Dog.
My last final case will be, and I hope this sways you because you made fun of me earlier for being too heady. So I will say that I think that this cartoon was that like, I'm just a guy having my snacks on a Saturday night and I'm on a trip. I want to take a ride. And this show is going to take me on a ride. I'm going to be so intrigued by these different villains and like, can Courage save Eustace and Muriel? And like, they're kind of quirky and you know what I mean? Like it just took me on a ride. And Johnny Bravo was just this like blah, like boring show.
You made Come a good on. Point. Yeah, you know, you made a good point with that. But every image on the screen is very captivating. Like,
yes.
It's very captivating. Like, every time you look up, if you look away, you're like, wait, what's that? A floating mask?
Right, right. Oh, I love that you remember that one. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, okay. All right. Okay, fine, fine. I tried the feminism angle. It didn't really play out very well. We don't
I
have
hear
to
it.
Okay, I'll go okay. with courage.
That was very good. I like this dialogue. It feels kind of like therapy, too. It's good. Okay, I love this next one. So, number five, it's going to be Rugrats, a Nickelodeon classic, versus yes. Dexter's Laboratory. Mm-hmm. I will let you begin. Dexter's your pick, Cartoon yes. Network. Please proceed.
Now, I will say this is a tough battle. I know you're not really, you know, familiar with sports very well, but this is really like a one seed versus an eight seed. Dexter's no Lab is a classic, great show, but I mean, Rugrats is a tough battle, but I will make the battle to the best of my abilities. Mm-hmm. Dexter's Lab is a completely original show. I've never seen anything like it. It is a boy genius who uses his genius to try to solve everyday problems like, you know, relationships, trying to study for classes, learn French, omelet du fromage. I would put up against most Rugrats moments. I think omelet du fromage is a great moment. Mandark, his laugh. I think that Dexter's Lab, I think when you talk about people that are into anime, I think it was such a interesting format. I mean, because anything was possible when he went into his lab, and it taught kids that science is cool, wonderment is okay, and you know, there's nothing wrong with being smart. Dexter's Lab, those are three lessons I took away from Dexter's Lab. I think that it has longevity. You talk about, I think you could watch an episode of Dexter's Lab as an adult today and it's still highly entertaining and funny. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Rugrats is four babies. That's why they made All Grown Up. They had to make a teenage version to entertain you as you got older. They had to make another version of it. So that's what I'll leave on that. I'm in. Okay. I'm done.
I like that. I like that. I respect that. And I would actually love to watch an episode of Dexter now to see if I agree. I love the show. I love Dee Dee. I think I always had anxiety of like her like making a mess of his lab. That always gave me anxiety. Yes. But
okay. Why is he German?
Right.
Question
right.
I always wonder.
I know. Literally. Okay, so Dexter is great. This is a good battle. I will say with Rugrats, so I think out of every show we're about to talk about, I think we can both agree that Rugrats stands the test of like timelessness. Like I think, yeah. right? Like everyone knows yeah. Rugrats. Everyone listening to this has seen it. They know like the iconic like Tommy Pickles outfit, the squad, right? Angelica, Phil, Lil Chucky, they know it. And by the way, they're making a new animated version, a reboot on Paramount Plus with all the same voices. But okay, so I will say, I think what I love most about Rugrats is, yes, of course, again, the lessons that you learn. But I think that, and something I learned when I watched The Orange Years, they wanted to create a show where like you purposely see like, you know, the drawing is kind of messy and three hairs here and like it's not perfectly drawn out. And they wanted to represent childhood that way, which I kind of like. I just think the idea was so cool of like when the parents go away, the kids totally have this like the brains right behind their like brainiacs. And
yeah.
One more thing. Sorry, I'm over time, but I also want to say I love how well they represented like they would do a Passover episode, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, like,
yeah.
and being someone who like has studied religion and is like a Christian, I think that they accurately really portrayed all of those. And it was just beautifully done for a kid to also get in tune with like religious holidays.
That was a good point you made. Yeah. They have that episode where they go to they get stuck at the playground and it's hot. And then there's like a sheik on a, you know, one of the kids is like a sheik on a camel toy.
Yeah.
And as a kid, you're like, I don't know what that is, but it plants it in your brain.
Dude.
So then when you see it later in life, you're like, you make connections. Star of David and those kinds of things. Yeah.
The mirages. Okay.
It's a garage. That whole thing was always, it never got played out when they say the words wrong, but you know what they meant. It's a show you could watch as an adult and it's still, yeah.
The episode they go to miniature golf and that the ice cream mountain, that yeah. image is still like, I want an ice cream mountain.
I knew that was going to be a hard one. That's not fair. That's fine. That's your selection. That's fine. I did the best that I could. But Rugrats is classic.
And I will say I'm really disappointed that those two got randomly matched together because I think Dexter could have survived. I like this next one. You're going to be upset about it. I just actually talked about this on my trivia episode. So we're doing Wild Thornberries Nickelodeon versus yes. Recess, which was One Saturday Morning. I never watched One Saturday Morning, friend. I never watched it.
What?
So I know.
So you've never seen, wait, so you've never seen Recess?
No. I know.
Why are we even doing this? Who made you the authority to be able to do this? You've never seen an episode of Recess? So you don't even know who the Ashleys are. This is a flag on the play. This is a flag on the play.
I know.
I can't believe this.
There's a character named like Spumoni or something, right? Is that
like
right?
Spumoni? Her name is Spinelli. Spinelli. And she's an iconic character.
I know. I know. So I will say to everyone listening to Nostalgia, I know that this might make me, I don't know, go down a notch in your reputation book, but like also like, come on, I beat everyone on this trivia episode last week. I am the best. I still am the best. My co-host last week was like, you know, people can just realize that you were probably sleeping in during you're more of a night cartoon kind of girl. That's what I'll take it as, right? I'm more of a, yeah, I didn't watch Recess. I just didn't care. I'm sorry.
You don't have to throw salt in the wounds. You didn't care. This is an icon. This show has several movies.
I know. So sell me on it. I don't know anything about it. I know it was just kids at school, so I like that vibe.
It's like everything you described about Rugrats, the not being polished, the baby. They did that, but for kids in middle school.
Okay.
It is wholly a show for and by middle school kids. The things that they do, and it takes place during recess. They get into all these, you know, conundrums and situations and
the entire show, the only setting.
It's two 15 minute segments. It's okay. A 30 minute show, but it'll be like the first 15 minutes is like somebody stole the kickballs. And then the second episode in the 30 minutes will be like, where are the Ashleys? And then it's two mm-hmm. different episodes.
But the entire show, the duration of like a few seasons of the show, it's always on the blacktop or whatever. It's always on.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, you know, they get to school and stuff and, you know, there's some because they have a really cool hippie teacher. Okay. But the whole idea is like, let's get to the recess part. Like that, because that's where all the kids are outside together and there's all these different kid groups and. Oh, it's so good. It's such a good show. And then
I will do a follow-up poll and also ask if I'm crazy or if it...
You know, for never why the poll, a newsflash, the poll will be 100% you're crazy for never watching an episode. If you want to go ahead, I'll allow you to make your argument for Wild Thornberries being better. That's fine. But not Wild Thornberries versus Recess. Is never having seen an episode of Recess crazy? Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I am steaming. I'm like a teapot right now.
I know. It's a fun fact that I don't like to bring out. But I will. Okay. But Wild Thornberries, guys. Wild Thornberries was. There's no other show like it, right? There was no other show like it. It is a very interesting. I don't know. I'm just like flashing back to even like the RV. Like it's so if anyone hasn't seen it, I'm sure you all have. But like a family that's on an excursion because the dad hosts a nature show and they're in an RV and they go and she talks to animals. This girl's able to talk to animals. Like, you know, they have a monkey. Like the sister Debbie is just this fun, like badass, like, you know, teenager that's like upset that she's there. Like the dad, I think, is played by Tim Curry as a voice. Like,
yes.
It's a cool show. I will say I can't be the judge of like if it's better. I trust you though to make an objective decision.
That's fine. But, I mean, yeah, if we're going off of that, yes, there's no other show like Wild Thornberry.
And Recess
Dr. Doolittle, seen it before, talking to animals. I've seen it done. And you know something? Eddie Murphy did it better.
Agree, but we're doing cartoons right now.
Yeah, okay, fair. As far as cartoons go, yeah, it was a very original show. It was very... it gave you this idea that you could do like that your family could live in an RV and for your dad's job. It was very like something I hadn't seen done many times before. Like they were like on the go. Their home was the RV. It was this very, and you know, and it was very cultural. They went to different countries and she interacted with the locals and helped them with their problems. It was a very worldly show.
Yes.
And Donnie was funny. Donnie was
hilarious. And Recess sounds like every other show we've talked about, kind of.
All right. You're really throwing salt on the wounds here. Recess, though, having never seen it, it's harder for me to try to get you. It's easier for you to sway me to your side because I have seen Wild Thornberries.
I know.
But, Yeah, no, that's fair. It is a very unique and original show, The Wild Thornberrys. This one really hurts my soul. And if you were more equipped, I'd be able to turn you to my side better.
I know.
But
I know.
This show, I rented Recess, the movie from Blockbuster. I was very much a fan of Recess. I wanted to be TJ Detweiler. I wore my hats backwards at a time because I wanted to be like TJ Detweiler. And you don't even get that reference, which burns me.
I know. You know what I'm going to do, Alvin? Before I publish this episode, I'm literally going to watch an episode. I should have already done this. My bad. But I'm going to watch an episode. And I will add a little addendum if I have thoughts. I mean, I will have thoughts, obviously, but I will add an addendum.
I will go ahead and acquiesce. I will say, because Wild Thornberrys is a very worldly show. You're talking about longevity, impact. Yes. This show had movies and, you know, all those things. It was a very big show for Nickelodeon.
Dude. Okay. Two more brackets. So this is good. Hey Arnold versus mm-hmm. Captain Planet. I will begin. I'm just going to say this from the top is, Hey Arnold is my favorite cartoon out of all cartoons. So I was very upset that these were the two that were paired together again, because I feel like there's no contest, but it was a random generator. So there's that. Oh,
you think
gosh.
There's no contest. Continue.
Okay. Hey Arnold. Hey Arnold, I'm going to put the timer on because I could talk for days. Hey Arnold was the most philosophical show for a child. Like, I honestly will say that I think that Hey Arnold helped me grow in my emotional intelligence. I'm not kidding. Like, I genuinely believe that. And again, this was another show that my dad would watch with me. And again, as like a 45-year-old at the time, like, he was sitting there and genuinely enjoying it. It wasn't like Courage, where it was like a fun ride. It was like, there's a lesson here. Like, again, the Christmas episode where they find Mr. Wynn's daughter. I can't even. And it shows her being a refugee and being stolen. Alvin, I can't even. I'm going to stop there because I think this one might win to the next bracket. So I'll just stop there at 40 seconds. Please proceed.
I will say, again, I don't know what kind of hacking you did to the generator for this to be random, but it's fine. It's fine. Arnold, Hey Arnold versus Captain Planet. Let me make my argument. For one, okay. Captain Planet is the most eco-conscious superhero to ever have existed. Much more than Aquaman. He is about saving the planet. He's a hero. He cuts pollution down to zero. Captain Planet also got the youth involved. He made kids from every continent on this planet come together and unite under one cause, which was stopping a big government from destroying the lands that the native people inherit and trying to keep the planet as healthy as possible. Now, I was not sure. I wasn't under the impression that your name was Nassim Kalitterly. but I guess I stand corrected. I didn't know you didn't care about the planet. That's fine. Hey, Arnold. Yeah. He lives in a boarding house. That's cool. We all live in a boarding house, Earth, and we should try to take care of it as best as we can. And Captain Planet instilled that in all of us.
Okay. A great attempt. And I will say, very timely, because we're recording this the week of Earth Day. So thank you. Yeah. All of my NPR Life Kit episodes are all about like how to live a compostable lifestyle and da da da. So I hear you. And I think that's awesome. But let's talk about longevity. Let's talk when you say Hey Arnold versus Captain Planet, who knows which show more? There's no contest.
I love Hey Arnold. I love Hey Arnold.
Good. You do.
I think I love a show about a Gerald and fuzzy slippers.
Yes,
and Okay. Hey Arnold, obviously. Eugene, he's always falling into things.
Stoop kid. I want to talk about it.
I was Stoop Kid. My grandmother would never let me go play with the neighborhood kids. I am Stoop Kid. I love it. Okay. I just had to do the best that I could.
You actually did really well. I mean, I'm all for saving the planet. Yes. Like, I really want to get an electric vehicle. That's my, <Yes. laughs> doing my part. Okay. More to come on here, Arnold. I feel like we both have a lot to say. Our final bracket. We are doing...
I want to also let you know the stakes of this bracket right here before we start moving on mm-hmm. to further rounds. If you don't take this guy out now, my pick, you're going to have a tough day, because I can make a great argument for this thing, my pick for this bracket winning.
Okay.
The whole. So you bring your, I mean,
Well, I kind of wanted to win then. I just wanted, I kind of want to see it through, which okay. Okay.
Make it. You go ahead. Kick things off.
Wait. I'm dying now because I'm so confused. I forgot who picked what.
I picked Pokemon.
You did. Okay. Well, Pokemon. I did. Did I not?
Oh. No. You picked Powerpuff Girls.
Dang it. Okay. Well, I kind of want Pokemon to win. I agree. I actually for a second I was like, did I pick that? Okay, guys. So it's Powerpuff Girls versus Pokemon. Okay. Yeah. I'll go first because I. Not that I want to just like acquiesce, but Powerpuff Girls, Cartoon Network, you know, love the whole Charlie's Angel vibe for little girls. I think that to this day, that was a show, a cartoon for me that was like, every girl was like, who are you? Are you Blossom, Bubbles, or Buttercup, right? Yeah. That was whole, like, yeah. Which one are you? And like, you could totally see yourself in one of them. I think I was totally Blossom.
The leader.
Or just more like, I don't know, I wasn't this like very like baby or I wasn't like the mean girl. But I also think this show was a cool, like, you also remember every villain. Similar to Courage, I think it was like, I still remember like him and like how weird he was or like the amoeba.
Him would do great in 2020. You're talking about this very like gender fluid, ambiguous, right. You know. Just, you know, very, very, a very interesting image to show to children to make kids comfortable with the idea of like, you know, you can dress how you want. Totally. You can identify how you want to. It's a very totally. Interesting character.
And I will say for me, the fact that I don't really like action. So for me, the fact that there was like all action superhero, that's not my normal vibe. But yeah. This, I was still intrigued. That was kind of cool to me.
I mean, they would beat the crap out of Mojo Jojo.
Dude.
Like relentlessly to the point where you sometimes I'd be like, oh my God, like, okay. His brain would be coming out of his little helmet sometimes.
Yeah. It was pretty violent and just come on, girl power. Like I'm a girl power
for sure.
Girl,
yeah. Okay. Nassim, are you familiar with the show Pokemon?
Yeah, dude.
Are you familiar with the trading cards Pokemon?
Oh my God. I'm annoyed right now. Okay.
It was a rhetorical question. That's it. That's the only debate that I have. It's Pokemon. And longevity. You want to talk about it? Yes, it's the biggest thing in the world. Now, still now.
100%. No, I want you to continue your argument in the next round. So yes, let's just let you win. All I was going to say is I was actually really shocked. One of my really closest friends, Pokemon came up and I brought up how you would actually like this. When I was in my trading card era, when I was like 9 or 10 years old,
yes.
I duped my neighbor into trading me. He gave me a holographic Articuno and I gave him a Zolbat. Yeah.
What?
He fell for it. And literally, Alvin,
was this just like some rich? This is just some rich kid who had the cards to fit in.
He had no idea. His mom came knocking on our door the next day.
Yeah,
saying Jason's been crying. Like he's so like, can you please? He didn't know. He had no idea what he was doing. And can Nassim please give it back to him? And I literally traded him back. Yeah. Yeah.
That's insane. Also, no givesies, backsies in my house.
Know,
my mom
would have
been
on.
Like, you need to get off my porch. This was handled between those two children.
Right.
And all sales are final.
But anyways, I'm telling my friends this and she was just looked at me like I was crazy. She's like, I had no idea you were that nerdy. I was like, yeah, I was really into Pokemon. I was so proud of myself. I was like, I'm a G.
Yeah, that's a solid swindle.
All right, lovely listeners, we have just completed what I'd like to call a pretty epic round one. I mean, we just went from 16 down to a top 8. And I hate to keep you on your toes, but I think I'm going to cut this episode here because we're already over time. And I'm just going to save the goodness for next week. So let's recap. Our top 8 right now includes 5 of Nassim's picks and 3 of Alvin's picks. Just wanted to say that I'm winning. We got Doug going head to head with Ed, Edd n Eddy. Magic School Bus versus Courage the Cowardly Dog. Interesting. Rugrats versus Wild Thornberries. And Hey Arnold versus Pokemon. Boom. Join me next week as we go from 8 to 4 to 2 in our semifinals, and finally 1 as our reigning cartoon champion. What are your predictions? What are your top favorites? I want to know if you agree with me or if you agree with Alvin. You can follow me on Instagram at Nassim K, NASEEMK. DM me your thoughts. I love the commentary, and we will see you back next week.